Here we are, dear followers of Emergency Live and Emspedia. Today the keyword is training. Training is important for anything in our life, in particular for rescuers, paramedics, and pre-hospital operators. Last month, on 1st October, Makati Hospital University in Philippines hosted a workshop about medical devices in cases of trauma. University students have tested stretchers, spinal boards, cervical collars, and all the instruments to immobilize a patient in the right way. The focus was on traumatic patients, and we are about to analyze deeper this argument with Dr. Jeremy Cordero, EMS chief at Hospital of Makati, who coordinated the workshop. So glad to speak with you, Dr. Cordero, and welcome with us.
No, pleasure is all mine.
So according to EMS protocols in Philippines and your experience in field, what must be the correct approach to a rescuer to a traumatic patient? What should be the operator behavior?
For us here in the Philippines, the primary concern for the operator is always safety of the rescuer and of the patient. So the primary goal is always to reduce or to preclude morbidity and mortality of the patient in the pre-hospital setup. So for that means for the rescuer or the operator in the pre-hospital setup, there should always be a focus on safety for the self and for the team, but also for the ensuring of the safety for the patients that they are treating in the pre-hospital setup.
Yeah. And talking about specifically of road accidents and traumatic patients management, which safety rules to immobilize must be used on such scenarios?
Yes. For the Philippines, we follow what is called a rapid trauma assessment. So once the operator or the pre-hospital team or personnel arrives at the particular scene, there's always what we call the scene size up. That includes body substance isolation. That's a very important first step. They must be wearing gloves and face masks, just to ensure a basic personal protective equipment, as well as they have to look at the number of the patients. They must be able to assess if they need backup or additional resources, as well as any immediate dangers that could be seen in the field. Particularly for road accidents, it's very important to see what kind of approach they will have to instill. For example, if the patient is pinned down, they have to first secure the area. Then there must be what we call stabilization of the vehicle. It's very important because some road collisions, the vehicle could be a danger, particularly if it's impending, it's imminently about to explode. So it's very important to try to put the engine off, or in some instances, you have to cut the battery just to make sure that there's no cause for fire. Mm-hmm. And of course, the entry, the entry of the operator or the EMT is very important. Of course, road collisions entail a lot of broken glass, a lot of broken machinery. So the approach and the entry of the EMT is very predetermined depending on the situation, but at the same time, the EMT must be able to gauge the situation as it is and be able to choose the best approach in order to reduce the mortality of the patient but maximize the safety of the team.
And which are the first aspects a student must learn first in traumatic patients treatments?
So, as I said, safety first is a very important aspect. It's always reiterated to our students, but it's very important for them to realize that safety as not just professional philosophy, but as an ongoing dynamic process within the field should always be observed. Because, of course, It's easy to teach a student that once they arrive at the scene, they should put on their gloves and their mask. They should observe safety, see any immediate threats. But especially now in this age, in our society, a lot of impending threats are possible. There are threats such as terrorism, even the imminent threats of crime. So that's why it's very important for the pre-hospital personnel to be always in contact with the other public safety agencies, such as the police, such as anti-terrorism operatives, such as the bomb squad, because the primary goal of safety is also collaborative safety, wherein not only the team and the patient is safe, but also there's also a safety for the public at large. So that is why the pre-hospital team has to instill this into their own organizational structures and into their own professional philosophy, so that this could be maximized to full effect.
Yes, absolutely. And how much important are practice and the retraining for rescuers?
Yes. We recently had an EMS convention last October 2017 in University of Makati entitled EMS Empowerment. And one of the workshops in that convention was to create a 10-step EMS agenda. And in that 10-step agenda, one of the very important steps is continuity of training or continuous training. Because here in the Philippines, standardization of training is still ongoing, is still in the process. So a lot of pre-hospital operators and EMTs are not actually required to retrain. So it depends on the school, it depends on the local government unit if they are going to have that continuous retraining. And that's why in the national EMS steps, we included continuous retraining, because it's very important to keep that level of competency within pre-hospital personnel. And also in the EMS bill that is being lobbied in Congress and in Senate, we also consider retraining as a very important factor in the continuous quality assurance of a particular EMS system.
Okay. And what would be a complete set of equipments for an ambulance according to your needs in Philippines?
For actually our Department of Health already released an ambulance an ambulance requirement administrative order, which outlines the important equipments that have to be present in the ambulances. We label our ambulances type 1 and type 2, type 1 being basic life support and type 2 being advanced life support. So obviously the advanced life support has more equipment needed, but basically what both ambulances need is first ventilation and airway equipment. So these include the suction machines, the O2 tanks and regulators, the O2 mask, the back valve mask, and the EP tubes, and other adjunct airways. We also need the monitoring devices and defibrillators. So that includes the sphygmomanometer, the stethoscopes, the glucometers, the thermometers, and the cardiac monitors. Now there's a push towards digitalization. So there's actually a trend wherein some ambulances are planning to have their cardiac monitors digitally sent through a cloud, so the admitting hospital or the receiving hospital could actually real-time see the telemetry or the ECG results of the patient. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get ahead of the digital age, wherein we could see through digital equipment, we could actually see what's happening to the patient real-time in the receiving hospitals. We also need, of course, immobilization devices such as collars, both soft and hard traction devices, spine boards, of course, and padding equipment. Very important because, as you know, trauma, particularly in trauma, spine immobilization is very important. And of course, the usual dressing and bandages, obstetric delivery material like a sterile delivery kit, because with the Southeast Asia, particularly in Manila, has a very tedious traffic. So sometimes there are instances wherein some women have to give birth on the road. So the EMT must have the tools to be able to expedite that. And of course, other miscellaneous equipment such as, of course, communication equipment, medicines and fluids, and depending on the scope of practice of certain EMS systems, the extrication devices that some EMTs could use to, particularly for road accidents when they have to extricate the patient from, either the cars or vehicles, and sometimes even in collapsed buildings, depending on the disaster.
Yes. Very good, very interesting. And is there something else you wish to add, Doctor?
Well, being in a developing nation, I'm very proud that emergency medical services is actually sort of a global community. We just concluded the EMS Asia Convention in Davao City, wherein Makati participated very vigorously. And there were participation from all over the world, including mostly in Asia, but even from Europe and also from the U.S. So at the moment, the environment politically is very divisive. But in certain areas, such as EMS, there's actually a strong push towards unity and sharing of knowledge. And I think this is something that humanity in general could build upon, because when we share knowledge, we could actually help each other improve survival rates, particularly in healthcare. And of course, to the more lives we save, it's actually a success for all of us.
Yes, this is very important, absolutely. So thank you very much for your contribution, Doctor, and we wish you a good job for your next projects, which are very important to prepare students at best for emergencies. So thank you again.
Yes, my pleasure. You're welcome. My pleasure.